I want you to think about with me this. I don't know about you, but I love the Christmas season. Anybody agree? Do you guys love Christmas? Yeah, it's a really good time. I tell you something, I love to be able to focus on Jesus. I especially love to be able to come into this place, into this church. This church is really, for me, when I come into one of these services, a place where I can just decompress, where I can let go of all of the cares and things that are outside of these doors and just focus my heart on Jesus and worship Him. And what a great morning it is, too, to come together and to worship together as a family with all of our children and youth participating. Would you just give them, again, a big round of applause and thank them for the time and the effort that they've taken this week and the previous weeks to prepare. What a glorious morning of worship it's been. And I really have found my peace here in these services. I find a place where I can come and just rest, because all of us know, as much as we love the Christmas season, we would probably all agree that there are things we definitely do not like about the Christmas season. Would you agree? Namely, beginning on Black Friday, all that shopping that has to get done. Let me tell you something. If you don't want to experience peace, go Black Friday shopping. I'll tell you, all the crowds, the craziness, people pushing past each other. And really, in our culture, what is meant to be a time at Christmas where we focus on the birth of Christ and all that He meant to really to be our peace, it is one of the least times of peace in our culture. We get ourselves so busy and so wrapped up into so many things that we have to do. Our schedules pick up with different parties and events and things that we have to go to, the buying of gifts, and it just seems at times like we've lost our focus on what Christmas is really supposed to be about. Maybe there's something to it that we should be rethinking what Christmas is really about. I want to ask you this question this morning, and in your worship guide, you'll find some sermon notes that you can use to follow along, and there's two questions here at the very top of those sermon notes, and take just a moment to jot a couple of your own personal answers down to these questions. But the first question I want to ask you is this, is what are things in life that bring you peace? Think about it. What are the things in life that bring you peace? Some of you might say, you know, freedom in your schedule, right? When things aren't as busy, when life seems like I've got more time to kind of just relax and do the things I want to do, freedom in the schedule brings us peace, right? It feels less chaotic. Maybe it's when you finish a task. You know, maybe you have a big project you're working on at work or something you're doing at home. Maybe you have a big school assignment that's due, and when we finish that task, we can push it aside, and there's this, like, sense of peace, like, ah, that's out of the way, and I don't have to deal with that anymore. Something I can't wait because school will end for me tomorrow for the semester, praise God. For some of us, we find our peace in nature. Maybe a walk along the beach and enjoying God's beauty that He has created all around us. Or maybe it's not just like a beach, but just being out in nature. I know so many people find peace, and especially peace with God, in those places. Maybe for you, it's a good book by the fire. Maybe it's an afternoon nap without interruption. Maybe it's a much-needed vacation. I know for me, the greatest place for me to find peace in my life from some of the chaos is on vacation. My favorite vacations are the ones that don't take place on this continent because my cell phone doesn't work. And I can go and I can get away and push it aside and just relax. And we had, Rochelle and I had the blessing of her parents taking our entire family and paying for us to go on a Caribbean cruise this last summer. And one of the things they also took us on was a catamaran ride. And let me tell you something. I think I found myself at one with God out in the Caribbean on this boat for an hour. My kids just like sitting off on the side, completely quiet and mesmerized by what they're seeing. It was beautiful. And I laid there in this silence with the breeze blowing over me and the sound of water underneath and cute little sea turtles coming up and going down. And like, I was in that place of like, oh, so relaxed, not a care in the world, not even thinking about work or anything that I had to do when I got home. But then that stupid boat pulled into port and it was gone, completely gone. And I'll tell you something, I sit there and I long for those moments of complete peace in my life. There's so many different things that will bring us peace. It could be a vacation, a walk in nature, whatever. It could be financial or job security for us. It could be contentedness in relationships or being loved by another person. Or it could be a good report from the doctor when we've had a scare in our lives, a health scare. Truth is, our culture defines peace in this way. It says that peace is the freedom from disturbance or a cessation of war or violence. Or it also coins it as quiet and tranquility. When you boil it all down, often what our culture says is this, is that peace is the absence of things that get in the way of our contentment in life. Think about that. Peace is the absence of things that get in the way of our contentment, our happiness, our fulfillment in life. But I want you to think about this too. What are the things that break the peace in your life? What are those things that seem to get in the way of you finding that place of peace? For many of us, I know for me this morning, it's the alarm clock when it goes off. And I sit there and go, no, I need more time. Maybe it's a busy schedule that just seems to go on end with work or the kids' schedule and different sporting events, and we feel like we just never have time to rest. Oftentimes, what breaks the peace in our life is the unexpected interruptions throughout our day. It could be brokenness in relationships with others, tension within family, discontentedness in our jobs, or even a loss of a job, financial difficulties, a sickness, death of a loved one, the kids fighting, even world events when we think about it. And we look at the world that surrounds us and all the chaos that seems to be ensuing at times, it's something that really breaks our peace. I noticed this last week when we had the Toledo Symphony here, that the conductor shared a story of going to Israel, to that place where she got to go to Bethlehem. And I don't believe that she is a believer, but she got to go to Bethlehem. And she talked about how it's supposed to be that place where the Savior was born, where peace was supposed to be. And she said the thing that stood out to her most is just how much violence and hatred that there is in that place where Jesus was born, where it was supposed to be a peaceful place. The reason that is because the world we live in is just covered with evil and with sin. And it affects our lives as well, because often the things that break the peace in our own lives has to do with our own confessed sin, or maybe guilt or shame or hidden pain that we've told no one about. There are so many things. We could go on and on and on listing the things that break peace in our life. You know, the truth is, at the time of Jesus' birth, peace was something that the nation of Israel was desperately longing for. I want you to follow along with me in your notes. Why was it that Israel was looking for peace at the time of Jesus' birth? Well, the first thing is this: their lives had been completely turned upside down. I want you to remember that Israel had been chosen by God, given the promised land, given a place where they were going to reside and live fully under the blessing of God in a perfect relationship with Him. And God promised them, as you stay committed to me, I will provide for you everything that you could possibly need, and I will make you a great nation. But we also understand, as we read in the Old Testament, that Israel decided to turn their backs on God, and from that point, everything began to turn upside down. As they turned their backs on Him and they began to worship other gods, they went through so many periods of time where they would walk away from God, and then God would punish them, and then they would return, and they would go through these cycles of giving themselves to God and then walking away and following after their own devices. And oftentimes, as they did, they would always find themselves in that place of like, why in the world did we do this? Because our lives don't seem better when we walk away from God. And yet, as these cycles continue, we see in the latter part of the Old Testament that finally God punishes Israel to attempt to draw them back to Himself by calling them into exile. And He uses the nations of Assyria and Babylon to take them and drag them off into exile, away from the land that they had been promised. And can you imagine what that must have been like for them? Taken away from the promised land, living in their minds in a place of darkness, wondering, is God still really for us? Look at what we've done. And yet we see that in the Bible, God again is faithful to return His people to the promised land. And as they returned, they came and they began to build the walls of the city again, but they continued under the oppression of numerous other nations. And we read that from the end of the Old Testament until the time of Christ's birth, the Bible tells us that God was silent. For 400 years, in the writings of Scripture, there was silence. No prophet speaking. God did not speak, but from the end of the Old Testament to the birth of Jesus Christ. But the reason that Israel was sitting there hoping and looking and desiring for peace is because, number three, the prophets had promised one who would bring peace. And they spoke of, throughout the Old Testament, a Messiah, someone who would bring, again, peace to the nation of Israel. And I want us to look again this morning at Isaiah chapter 9, a portion of which was read in our readings this morning. But in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 2, the prophet Isaiah speaks of this Messiah, this prophecy of one who is to come, who will rescue Israel. And listen to the words that are spoken here by the Lord through the prophet. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. As we look at what the prophets prophesied about concerning this Messiah, we understand that Israel themselves believed that this Messiah would bring to them a time of peace unlike anything they had ever experienced. They believed that this Messiah that would come would rescue them from their oppressors, from the Roman government that pressed down upon them. And yet they believed that this Messiah would also come and set up an everlasting kingdom where they would reign with him forever. And while what they believed was true, what we see in Scripture is that their understanding of who the Messiah was incomplete. And it was imperfect. And honestly, the nation of Israel missed one of the most important things about this coming Messiah that was prophesied about. I want us to answer this question. What was wrong with Israel's understanding of the peace that had been promised to them through this Messiah? And this is what it was. What was wrong with it is for them, peace was about the removal of the things in their lives that were impeding their happiness and their contentment as individuals, but also as a nation. It was focused solely on what God could do for them in setting up their kingdom. And I want you to catch that important truth, because I want us to ask ourselves this question this morning. How do we, as God's people, often misunderstand the peace that Christ offers to us? Think about it. Look back at the things that maybe you jotted down when I asked you the question, what is it that brings you peace? What is it that breaks peace in your life? Often we misunderstand the peace that Christ offers in the same way that Israel misunderstood it. We think to ourselves that peace means a cessation of trouble in our lives. Maybe we believe that it's the removal of things that will get in the way of our happiness or our fulfillment. And often our understanding is based on the physical circumstances of life that keep us from that fulfillment. While we would never totally say that, often it's the way that we live. We have this idea in our minds that if I'm a good Christian, somehow God will make my life easy and he should be taking away all of the difficult stuff because I've been so faithful, and if I just call on his name, he'll remove everything that's tough. We think to ourselves that God would fix everything in this life because we just deserve so much better. But our misunderstanding is that we believe this is really about our happiness and our fulfillment and finding it in this world and the things that surround us. But here's what we miss, is that the circumstances of our life that rob us of our fulfillment and of peace are really symptoms of a greater issue that keeps us from true peace. And it is the very issue that Jesus came to solve. What was the peace then that the angels pronounced to the shepherds in the fields in Luke chapter 2, right? The shepherds are out in the field. They understood the promises that a Messiah would come, that he was going to bring peace. And then the angels show up in the sky, probably one of the most incredible things that they've ever seen, obviously terrified by what they see. And look at what the angels say to them. The angels in Luke chapter 2, as they speak to the shepherds, say this: "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And pause for a moment. The truth is that God did send a Savior. And yes, the Savior would ultimately save them from the things that were oppressing them in this world. He was coming to totally annihilate them. But what they thought was that it was really just about their physical reign, and they missed the point that this understanding of a Savior ran so much deeper than just the physical things of life. "For the angels pronounced, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." We have to understand that this pronouncement that the angels made to the shepherds out in the field was not about having peace with mankind and just throwing off the Roman oppression. It was not just about the removal of turmoil and things that were impeding them from their happiness or their fulfillment that they so desired. But what the angels pronounced in that very moment was that as they came, the pronouncement was that you, Israel, you, world, can find peace with God himself. Peace was about reconciling the broken relationship between a holy God and the creation that had rejected him. It wasn't about the surface issues. It was about the core issue. All of those things, all of the struggle that we have in this life to find happiness and fulfillment and to find true peace are impeded because we are not at peace with God. We are in the situation we are in a fallen world because we decided that we didn't need God. We could do this on our own. We could find a better way. And yet, we toil consistently, striving after material goods, looking to find fulfillment in relationships with other people and all of the things of this world. And yet, for some reason, we can't get it through our heads that we always seem to fail to find that what we're really looking for. It's elusive, and it always seems to slip through our fingers. The reason that Jesus came and the reason that he was born, the reason that the angels showed up and made that pronouncement is because they came to tell us that the peace that we most desperately need is reconciliation with God and our broken relationship with him. And when that relationship is reconciled, we will find peace in all things. We lack peace because we have rejected God and his perfect plan. And the only way to find true peace is through the restoration of our relationship with him. My friends, Jesus came to bring us peace. And Jesus this morning offers you peace. Number one, he offers you peace with God. All of the things in this world that we toil after, honestly, is a result of our sinful, selfish nature, a desire to find fulfillment in and of ourselves. And what it reveals is the selfishness that resides in the heart of every man. But the truth is that while we have been separated from God, Jesus came into this world to die on a cross, to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be at peace with God. All of our sin forgiven, all of our shame washed away, the guilt that we experience removed, because we can be in a perfect relationship with God and once again experience the peace that he has always desired for us from before the beginning of time, if we would simply turn our hearts towards him. Jesus offers you peace with God. And number two, he offers you peace through all of life's circumstances. And I want you to understand this completely. It doesn't mean that you come and you surrender your heart and your life to Jesus and that he takes away all the bad stuff. The beauty that we find in the Christian life and when we have a restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ is that while life's circumstances and the bad stuff doesn't go away, the incredible thing is that we can find a peace that this world cannot get its hands on because we know that God is in control of all things. He has promised us that he will take all things in this life and work them together for good, fulfilling his purposes for our lives and for his glory. And the promise we also have that he will one day wipe away all sadness, all brokenness, all evil, and all sin. Because of these truths of who God is, we can have peace walking through this life. So matter what physical circumstances in this life may break our peace, whether it's sickness, whether it's sin, whether it's the loss of a job, whether it's the children fighting, whatever it may be, God will give us peace through all of life's circumstances. We rely on him because we recognize that he holds all things in the palm of his hands, and he is going to perfect it. And ultimately, number three, will give us peace everlasting. The promise of eternal life, where one day God will wipe away all sadness and all sickness and all evil and all sin, and we will be reunited in a perfect relationship with God forever and eternity if we will yield our hearts to him. Is that a peace that you desire? I want to challenge you this morning. If you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, maybe you have gone through multiple Christmases where you've heard the Christmas story, you've heard all about Jesus. What I want you most to understand this morning is this, is that the reason that he came is that you would have peace with him. He wants to wipe your sin away and to have a relationship with you like the one he intended from the very beginning. If you have never made that decision this morning, would you recognize that what we see in the birth of Jesus Christ is the greatest act of love that God has ever shown? That while we sinned against God, while we were the ones that rebelled against him and continue to do so, he has been faithful to send his son and to again bring peace in our relationship with him. All we need to do is receive that gift of peace that he offers. And I want to challenge all of us as we move through this Christmas season to rethink in our minds about what peace is. Think about it. Where are you seeking to find your peace in life? Think back to those things that you wrote. Where are you looking for peace in your life? What do you think will provide that for you? What have you tried in the past? And I want to ask you this question. Has it worked? And if it hasn't worked, maybe there's a really good reason. Because Jesus is the only one that can provide us true peace. To God be the glory. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and the time that we have had to worship together. We thank you, God, for times where we can break away from the world that surrounds us and come here into your house and worship you and to leave the cares behind. And oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes we come here and we find great peace in your presence. But Lord, I also know that it has become very common for us to walk out these doors and to lose that peace until we return again. And I believe that the reason for that is because, God, we at times rely so much on ourselves rather than upon you for our peace. God, I pray that today you would help us to recognize all of us, whether we have never placed our faith in you before or whether we've known you for a very long time. Remind us, God, where true peace in this life comes from. That it only comes through Jesus Christ. And as we understand that the greatest need we have is peace with you. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would do that work in us, that we would rethink our understanding of how it is that we find our peace in this life. And that, Father, you would change the way that we live day to day. Not relying on ourselves and not relying on this world to provide that for us, but that, God, we recognize it only comes from you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
From heaven, humbly you came, God of all creation, here with us in a starlit manger. Christ the Lord, let all that
Wow. Would you give all of our students, all of our youth children, give them another big round of applause. Thank them for this morning. Thank you to our dancers. I love that we're in a church where we can use all of our giftedness to worship God and to pour it out for Him. I especially want to thank Tune Just Knows, because often we don't get to do these things. Dave Hadid, Chuck Silvernail, and many other people put this set together behind us and did a beautiful job with it. Please be sure to thank them when you see them. I want to close our service this morning with just a few things. Number one, I want to remind you that, actually I want to invite you to come back and join us all throughout this Christmas season. Every single Sunday, we're going to continue to talk about how we rethink our understanding of Christmas and what it is that Jesus really wants us to remember. We're going to correct a lot of things that we get wrong. And so I would love to invite you to come back and join us each Sunday at 9 and 10:45. But as well, inside of your worship guides, you will find two postcards that look like this. They say, "Who am I that He would choose me?" And this has all of the information about our Christmas Eve services. And I want to just make one note about this and get everybody to hear this, because it's confusing this year. Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. So here's how it works. On Sunday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, we will still have both morning services at 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. But we will also have our normal Christmas Eve evening services. So on the 23rd, we will have a service at 7 p.m., and then also on Sunday the 24th, we will have one at 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. We have incredible times to gather together as a church family to worship, and I want to encourage you and invite you to bring friends along with you to hear the good news of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So all of these things can be found inside of your worship guide. We would love you to come back and join us. As well, we want to remind you that there are many other ways to get involved. Christmas on the Screens is another of our big family get-togethers for the Christmas season. And there's information in your newsletter and also at the tables across from the W Cafe. We want to join together and continue throughout this season to focus our hearts on Jesus and who He is, and especially upon the peace that He desires to bring into each of our lives. So as you go this morning, would you go in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that when Jesus came, what He did and the thing that He sought to do was to bring peace between you and God and your relationship with Him. And from that will flow all of the peace that we desperately need in this world that we live in. God bless you, and have a fantastic Sunday afternoon. Merry Christmas.